Welcome to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing. I'm T. Hetzel, and today I'll be speaking with Chris Gallagher of Northeastern University about assessment. Chris Gallagher, Associate Dean for Teaching, Learning, and Experiential Education, holds a PhD in Writing, Teaching, and Criticism from University at Albany and a master's degree in English from the University of New Hampshire. Joining the dean's office in July 2014, he works with colleagues throughout the college on researching and supporting the undergraduate learning experience, fostering excellence and innovation in teaching, refining curricula and assessment, and strengthening the connections between cutting-edge classroom work and experiential learning. Chris came to Northeastern in 2009 as professor of English and writing program director. Previously, he was professor of English and composition coordinator at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for talking with me today on our podcast series. Well, today we'll be talking about assessing student writing. So how did you become interested in assessment?
I became interested in assessment through my interest in teaching and learning. And I put it that way because for many years, I taught writing without ever thinking about assessment as something that I did, that it was an important part of what I was doing as a teacher. And it wasn't until I worked with K-12 teachers who really had this understanding of the integration of assessment into the teaching and learning cycle, so that assessment is gathering information that it can help you make better decisions as a teacher, and then you adjust your instruction based on that. It wasn't until I got a sense from them of how to think about assessment that it really became meaningful and something that I embraced, except as something, I mean, the way I thought about it before then was it was something that other people did to teachers and students, and it was something that happened after teaching and learning happened, right? So you can measure and see, like, did it happen and to what extent? Instead of thinking about it within that cycle. So the K-12 teachers talked about what they call the CIA, which is Curriculum Instruction Assessment. And they had a vision of it that was very iterative or cyclical, so that it was, and what that helped me understand was that it's part of the prerogative of teachers to do assessment in their classroom and that they're in the best position to do it. My most recent book is called Our Better Judgment, and that's what I'm referencing there, is this notion that teachers are the ones who are spending their days with kids, right? They're in the best position to understand who they are as learners, not just the content of their areas, which of course we expect them to know as well, but also how to teach that subject, and then to whom they're teaching it. And that's as true at K-12 as it is in higher education. So it was really the K-12 teachers who helped me develop an interest in assessment.
And then you saw a way then, or a necessity to transfer it to higher ed.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of my work has been in assessment, has actually been at the K-12 level. And so I did have a book called Reclaiming Assessment, which is about the Nebraska experience with local assessments as part of a state system. Nebraska was the last state to go to the sort of No Child Left Behind model, where they were doing standardized state testing, 3 through 8, and then high school. They were doing a local assessment model where they were reporting out what the teachers were doing. They were designing assessments in their schools, classrooms, districts, and then reporting out. And so that's what that book is chronicling and trying to think about, what are the lessons from that experience.
Reclaiming it more and localized.
Yeah, exactly. Teachers reclaiming. Yeah. I feel like all of my work has really been about trying to help teachers think about assessment as something that, again, is within their professional prerogative. It is better understood as part of the teaching and learning process than as something that other people do to them. Right, so that's where that thinking starts, and where you can see that thinking sort of laid out. And it's been only really in the last 5 years or so that I've been thinking about how we can take what we've learned at the K-12 level into higher education. And it's, to me, it seems really interesting that we in higher ed are right now at a moment that I think K-12 has been at for quite a long time, because we are getting a lot of pressure to assess. There's a lot of distrust of what we do.
In the classroom.
Yeah, in the classroom.
That, okay.
Yeah, I mean, so student learning. There's a lot of sort of rhetoric politics right now around higher education not delivering on its learning promise. So there's been, you know, Academics Adrift, the Spellings Commission, and a whole spate of books that have come out recently with titles like College Unbound or Is College Really Worth It? These sorts of things, right? So building this mistrust or distrust of higher education as a sort of learning enterprise. This is, our K-12 colleagues know this quite well, right? And so part of the argument for let's assess them because they're not doing a good job assessing themselves has now moved into the higher education realm. We've often, I think, or traditionally we've thought about ourselves as immune from some of that because of tenure, because of disciplinary expertise, because higher education in the U.S. is the envy of the world, to use a phrase that comes up a lot around higher education. But I think we're actually past that moment. I think now there is considerable distrust of what we do. I think people are experimenting with new models of education and content delivery around things like competency-based education, adaptive learning, using online tools in order to learn and move outside of the bricks and mortar classroom, that we really need to think hard about how we're organizing learning experiences, how we're assessing those learning experiences, and then how we report that or articulate that to other people. So for me, assessment is first and foremost to make a positive argument about it. It's a way of understanding better how students are learning, to what extent, what are the conditions under which they learn best, how can we adjust our instruction and develop curriculum and professional development opportunities for teachers to best serve our students. That's the positive argument. But there's also an argument to me to be made, I think, that's important, that says we need to protect what we do. We need to articulate the value of the work that we do with students, because now actually we have, in a way we never have before, serious alternatives. And people are starting to look at these other models and saying, well, you know, if you can't show me that your teaching is actually leading to learning in a meaningful way and not just to an empty credential, then I'm going to look elsewhere. To some extent, I think that's a good kind of pressure to put on us, to have to say, like, here's what we're doing, here are the effects that it has, here's how we're adjusting our instruction, here's how we're thoughtful about teaching. Of course, there is a negative side to that as well, and I think a lot of it is unfair. I think a lot of it is driven by profit. People who are searching for new ways to open up revenue streams. And so I worry about that piece. But again, to stick with the positive part, I do think there's a lot of momentum right now for paying attention to assessment in higher ed.
And how does outcomes assessment figure into that?
In a very complex way.
I
am, one of the things I'm going to say at the seminar this afternoon is that my hope for that session is that people come out both more excited and more worried about outcomes assessment at the same time. So I'm ambivalent myself. The ambivalence comes from, again, I do think we should be doing assessment. I do think we should be articulating what we want students to learn. I think we should help our students understand what it is we're hoping that they learn. I hope we are engaging in helping them be more active in their learning process by thinking about and being part of the conversation about learning goals. I think all of that is incredibly important. I am cautious or hesitant around the word outcomes because I do think there's a possibility, and I've seen it happen, so I think it's more than a possibility. I think sometimes when we talk about outcomes, we tend to enshrine certain fixed ends. This is a term I take from John Dewey. He talked about fixed ends and ends in view. Fixed ends are ends that are a sort of terminus of activity, right? So once you've arrived at that moment, you've achieved it, great, you've got it, you move on, right? Instead of thinking about an end in view as something that is always part of what you have in the back of your mind as you're engaging in a currently meaningful activity. So the problem with outcomes is we sometimes fetishize them and we say, well, it's that benchmark that's most important. And we forget that what we're doing in this moment, right, this teaching and learning moment, could be really important in ways that maybe the outcome doesn't account for.
Or aren't measurable in that moment.
Or that aren't
because
measurable.
Because it's reverberations, exactly. Or people are building on them
That's exactly right. And I think it makes us perhaps less attendant to the kind of singularity of the moment and the potentiality of the moment that we have. These are words I take from Janice and Rich Haswell. They have a book called Authoring, and they talk about, they're really interested in our understanding better the kind of phenomenology of writing. What does it feel like to write? What is it? What do we experience when we experience writing? And I think sometimes we can lose sight of that when we say, you know, are they able to cite their sources properly using MLA format or something like that? Not that that's unimportant, but if we fixate too much on that, we may lose what's most meaningful about this moment. And so I'm really interested in thinking about learning goals, but also being attentive in any particular moment to the consequences of what's happening in this moment in a way that might not be accounted for what we articulated before that learning even happened, right? The outcome, the curious thing about outcomes is we formulate them before we meet our students. Right. So that we meet our students and we have these engagements with them. And as teachers, if we're good teachers, we want to be able to adjust and be flexible and be adaptive and really help our students move forward in ways that make sense for them as learners. And so sometimes that's going to lead us to unpredictable places, and we have to leave room for that. And I think a too tight of an outcomes assessment regime doesn't leave room for that. It says, keep your eyes on the prize, and these are the only things that really matter in this space. And this is a big, you know, this is, I think, particularly visible when we talk about outcomes assessment, but this is a big problem with assessment in general. I mean, this has been like teaching to the test and standardized assessment. We've seen this a lot.
Especially K through 12.
Especially K through 12, but I do think more and more we're seeing it in higher education as well. So there's a lot of people experimenting with various kinds of standardized tests in higher education. Some of them discipline specific, some of them things like the collegiate learning assessment, which is being used in many institutions. And what you're seeing is extremely predictable if you know anything about what happened at the K-12 level, which is people teaching to that test. And if you attach stakes to that, if you say, well, you know, this department's going to get more money if it can raise its scores, they're going to start doing things that raise the scores, whether or not they're good for teaching and learning. And in some ways, it sounds like a cynical thing, but really that's about incentivizing certain kinds of behaviors. So if you're going to fire somebody, if you're going to peg raises, people's raises to this particular outcome, right, then they're going to engineer the learning experience in a way that's going to produce that outcome. And that may mean, in a K-12, it's often meant excessive test preparation for the people who most need meaningful, engaged classroom instruction. Instead, what they're getting is a sort of, you know, drill in testing and how to take tests and, you know, really tight control over the content.
To perform in the moment. To learn.
And not deep long-term learning, right?
Exactly.
But enough learning in a specific kind of learning that will help them perform on the test. So typically it's memorization based, or it's really sort of small skills based, instead of how do they interact with this material? How do they analyze it? How do they interpret it? How do they evaluate it? How do they synthesize it, right? The sort of higher level kinds of thinking and learning, they're not being given much experience with. And my fear about what's happening in higher education is if we don't build good, meaningful assessments at the local level in our departments and in our colleges, then we're going to be left with those kinds of standardized tests that are then going to start to drive what we do in our classrooms. So that's why I'm excited to do projects like this one, coming to Sweetland and talking with people across disciplines, because I'm hopeful that they'll feel engaged in that process and like they have a say, because if they don't, I think we're going to see more use of things like the CLA or other kinds of standardized tests, and that's going to start to drive things.
So what do you think then that faculty could do with the assessment and student writing in their classrooms?
Right, so the first step, it seems to me, is to the reason I told that story earlier about the K-12 teachers is I think we have to first see it as part of what we do instead of something else that somebody else does or something that happens after teaching and learning happens. So I talk a lot about, and this is a K-12 phrase as well, assessment for learning, not just assessment of learning, mm-hmm. right? So it's really about using assessment to advance teaching and learning, to really make it more meaningful and engaged. That's the first step, I think. And then I think they need to think about what is it that we value in student writing? What is happening in student writing when it's going well in our discipline? So there's two, typically in my experience doing workshops with folks across the country, there's two steps in that. The first step is to try to develop some language around that. Like, how do we describe what we're seeing in the student text that we really value, that we like? So often it'll start with clarity, concision, detail, depth, appropriate citations, good use of, right? So these sorts of language, these sorts of terms. The second step then is to unpack, well, what does that mean, right? There's a pretty famous study in writing across the curriculum where Chris Tice and Terry Zawacki, at the time they were at North Carolina State, brought together faculty from across the university and said, what do you value in student writing? And they used these terms. And they were really excited, like, oh, we all value the same thing. This is great. We can all teach in the same ways and have more coherence across the curriculum. But then they said, well, what do you mean by clarity, right? And it turns out what we mean by clarity in English is not at all what they mean by clarity in chemistry, for instance, right? Or I shouldn't say not at all, but at a certain point, once you start to dig into that, they mean quite different things. So what students need to learn is so much more complex than things like admonitions to be clear. That's not a helpful thing to tell students, because you have to help them understand, what does it mean to be clear in this context, writing this genre for this audience, right? So it's really about trying to help, for me, it's about helping teachers better articulate what it is they expect from student writing, gather examples of what that looks like so that you can share it with students.
Models.
Help students understand in their classrooms how to do that work, create environments that put them in the best position to be able to do that work, and then build that assessment into the teaching and learning cycle so that you create an assignment, you scaffold that assignment so that they've got various kinds of learning opportunities, you have them produce some piece of writing, you then do an assessment. And then you figure out what's going well, what's not going well. How would I go back to that scaffolding? How would I go back to the assignment itself to better help them learn, right? To get them to the place where I feel like they need to be. And that's what teaching and learning is. That's what we've always done, but we've never quite articulated it in quite that way. And that, to me, is why assessment becomes so important. It's that bridge between teaching and learning, actually, right? So when things are going well, with faculty that I work with, they stop saying things like, well, I taught it, they just didn't learn it, right? And they start saying, you know, I understand better where I need to provide more or a different kind of support to my students to get them to the place where they need to be. I am starting to see where the gaps are, why the things that I was doing in my classroom, some of them work, some of them don't work, but I understand why, I understand when, I understand the kind of learners who respond well to this kind of thing, but I also understand that I have multiple learners in my classroom and I'm adjusting my instruction in ways that help them achieve what they're capable of achieving. That's, to me, that's the power of the assessment piece and why we shouldn't be afraid of it.
Thank you so much for talking with me today, Chris.
You've been listening to the Sweetland podcast series, Topics in Writing, recorded at the University of Michigan. For more information about the Sweetland Center for Writing, visit us on the web at lsa.umich.edu/sweetland.